My name is Wynn. I'm the moderator tonight. I'd like to say your name and your city.
Hello, it's Marianne and Gary in San Diego.
Hi, Marianne and Gary.
Hello.
Good to have you. We're just waiting for Don to put us on the air. For another Monday of the Wynn Without the Don show. How many of you guys have listened to the Don and Wynn show? Nobody. Good. My name is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Casino from California. This is Matt.
Who is it from California?
Francis.
Thank you. Hi, Francis. Okay, obviously you can hear we've got some mumbling, rumbling sounds in the background, which as soon as we check everyone in, I'll just mute that out. My name is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Anna from Highwind.
Hi, Anna.
Hi, Wynn.
How are you feeling? How'd you recover from that fall?
Well, I'm having ups and downs.
Are you?
Sometimes still
pain in your body?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. My back is got thrown out of alignment too. But anyway, I'm making progress. It's a bit on the slow side, and I'm restless.
Mm-hmm. Wynn, how's your sister? She's, she's been going through tests. She had this thing where she's, couldn't walk for a while, and it turns out that her bones were really weak.
Oh,
and,
dear.
I mean, like 50%, and they told her she wasn't getting any vitamin D. So she's been getting mega doses of vitamin D, and, she's in the hospital. Now, you know, they've told, in the readings, they told her that part of her, even from the very first time I asked a question about her back in 2002, they said part of her issue was not being able to receive and that she needed to receive. And that she'd come into the conference call occasionally, but usually I have to drag her in. I have to get through her husband. And we should be, what's going on? Gino?
Yeah, I'm here. We connected with Don, and I don't know what happened. Do you want me to try him again? Is he?
Have you listened to the internet and see if we're on?
Don, are you there?
We are on. We are on.
Oh, we are on?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for checking.
Right.
All right. Well, usually Don tells us. Okay. So I just muted everybody, and I'd like to welcome all of you who are joining us on BBS Radio, and my name is Wynn Free, and we are actually doing this show, or this call, over the phone lines, and we have about 25 people on the phone with us while the show is going on, and this is probably an unusual or a little bit different than many of the things you've been exposed to, and part of it revolves around this communication that I have been having around me with these voices that identify themselves as group souls, and that a group soul is basically an advanced form of us in another dimension. And actually, we also exist in other dimensions right now. Right now, part of us exists in our bodies, and part of us exists in other dimensions. And that's a little tricky to understand. And if you're hearing this for the first time, something that you probably will want to read a little bit about or read on our website to understand what it means to exist in another dimension. Some of you understand it. Some of you have had experiences of that. Some of you are psychic. Some of you who are listening may have even channeled. And some of you have had intuitions or flashes or insights or precognitions or deja vus. And these are all experiences that relate to connecting your physical embodiment with the parts of you that are in other dimensions. Now, the thing about other dimensions is we can't see them. We need an indirect kind of method of figuring out that that could really be true, because our physical apparatus, our physical sensory system, does not tune in to other dimensions. So, in my case, I've had this unusual experience for quite some time of having intelligences that are on other dimensions communicate with me. And, of course, when this first started happening, I had to say, how do I know they're on other dimensions? Who are they? And I had to monitor it for quite some time by asking questions, seeing how it correlated both in my mind and in my heart, and in also in relationship to the physical world. And during the time this was happening for me, I was in the position of writing a book about another person who was having communications with other dimensions. And the book is entitled The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And that another group soul was speaking through this individual that was explaining who they are, how they spoke through Edgar Cayce, why they are involved in communicating with us now, and what's happening on our planet. And as outrageous it might be to be making the premise that Edgar Cayce is back in a body, most of the people that have read my book believe that the case is very well made, and that the wisdom coming through this person and this understanding for what's happening on our planet is really something unprecedented in its credibility. In other words, if you hear a voice telling you something and you say this is true, and you don't know who that voice is, especially if it's coming from another dimension, you would have to ask yourself, how do I know this is true? Who is speaking to me? So if you study our website, if you study all these circumstances, you will see an incredible case of synchronicities, coincidences, concordances, parallels that are not just recent, but tie things together for perhaps 10,000 years. And putting all these pieces together make a very strong probability, probably in the order of billions to one, that we're onto something, and that we may have information that is accurate and correct about what's happening on our planet. And this is where it doesn't help to listen to me and have me just say it and believe it. If you don't do your own due diligence and study it, even if it is the correct information, you put yourself in the position of being a blind follower, just believing something that because someone says it. And I hope and ask that no one does that. I can share things that are being said, but I share with the idea that you are going to do your own due diligence and back up to see how much evidence there is that what we say actually could be true. Because in many aspects of what we're saying, it's a bit like science fiction. It's a bit out there. It's not your normal wisdom or compassion or understanding. There's a lot of that within it. There's a lot of huge wisdom within what's being said. But there's also information that's rather specific about things which a human could never figure out on their own. And that an explanation of the cosmos, of the way things work, that is not very well out there, and it's kind of the underlying basis for religion, for spirituality, for traditions, for a convergence that many people see are happening now on our planet, where things don't seem to be operating according to Hoyle. We see weather changes. We see natural disasters. We see solar flares increase. And also, all through our solar system, there are changes in every single planet that are unprecedented in the history of humankind. And what's being said that's happening is something called a dimensional shift. It's a lifting of the Earth's vibration. It's the end of a 75,000-year cycle. And for those of you that are familiar with the word chakra, it's the Earth is moving from a third chakra planet to a fourth chakra planet, in simple language, which means that the evolutionary lesson will change from power and individuality to compassion and empathy. In other words, it's been power. We can see that. People vying for power, control, money. That is what our planet majorly has been around about for many thousands of years. And right now, the planet is shifting into compassion and empathy. And that means, in order to continue one's evolution in this realm, one needs to graduate the lessons of power and individuality. One needs to not say the words, but to have your heart energy open, slightly more than half. They say 51%. And that is your ticket to graduating. And there's going to be, according to these voices, these group souls, there's going to be a division of souls, of entities, those that graduate and those that don't. And those that don't graduate will continue evolution in this realm, but on another planet, in another star system. Their soul energies will be moved, and they will reincarnate somewhere else to continue third density evolution. Now, most of us, if not all of us, who are on this line listening, have gone through many, many, many lifetimes. And that every time we have a lifetime, we forget everything, starting over, but we carry the energy, the resonance, the vibration, our position in the matrix from one life to the next. Now, that's one of those things that if you're not familiar with that idea, you shouldn't believe it just because I say it. It's one of those things that you should study it and become familiar with, particularly my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. Most people who have studied Edgar Cayce have to give the idea that reincarnation is real some serious consideration because of the consistency and accuracy of Edgar Cayce's readings over 40 years. And that's one of the research materials that one should read, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, as a beginning to validate this for themselves, that this could be true. So those people that are moved to this other planet and continuing third density or third chakra evolution, supposedly, it's not going to be an easy time there because the people with open hearts, by and large, won't be there. They will have graduated this realm. So if you can imagine what this planet would be like now without the Martin Luther Kings or the Nelson Mandelas or the Gandhis or the Yoganandas, I would imagine I'm not certain about this, but I would imagine that would be some idea what one is going to have to cope with on this other planet for tens of thousands of years. Of course, you're really not going to know any of this information once you're there, because every time you reincarnate, you forget everything. So it's like you come into a world and you cope with the circumstances that exist at that time in that world, and you do your best. And from the point of view, it probably looks like it's about survival, and that when you die, there's nothing more. You just finish, because it's very hard to get the information that, in fact, when you die, you don't finish, you continue, and that within the material that we've been presenting, there's a huge amount of evidence pointing to that as a conclusion. There's a huge amount of phenomena. There's a huge amount of consistency. There's a huge amount of wisdom. There's a certain amount of miracles. And you can read about a lot of this on the website, higher-vision.org. And there's a treatise there called Questions and Answers with the Elohim, and it is in the free download section. And this is one of those circumstances of channeled material that was channeled by my friend Terry, who is on the line right now. And I asked many, many questions about just how things work. And the Council of Elohim identifies themselves as a group soul energy that exists in these other dimensions. And remember, I said that we exist in those other dimensions also, which means the part of us that we can't see exists in the same dimension that they exist in, which means we can connect with them, and they can connect with us. And we can sense that connection when it happens as an upliftment of our vibration, of a change in energy in our space. And one of the things that happens on this conference call is that they have agreed to be present on the call. In my questions and answers with them, I asked them, would you be on the call and work with people on the call? And this was kind of an experiment on my part to say, I wonder if this would work, and if they would, and how that would feel, and would there be validation to the fact that that's really happening. So we've been doing the conference calls for probably 15 months, 16 months. Started out with just a couple of people. And during those months, there have been many healings. Many people have changed their personal relationships with the people around them. There's been growth. There's been phenomena. And many people have felt an energy while the call was going on. I tell people to listen as I talk. Listen to the space when I don't talk. Feel the energy in between the words. Sometimes it feels like goosebumps or quietness. Sometimes it feels like your chakras are opening. Some people can see a light or a glow in the room around them. And some people just feel very comfortable. These are some of the signs that they are in your space. And it's an experience that you can become used to, that it can be part of your life 24/7. Now, perhaps some of you have had that as part of your life, that feeling of that energy being present, and you've come onto this call and it's only reiterated and given further detail, explanation, to something that you were already experiencing. And some of you are listening and wondering, could this be real? You're in your mind. You're thinking about it. And you're thinking, maybe you're experiencing something because I'm suggesting it. I used to think things like that. I used to be very skeptical, and I used to take everything apart, and it was very hard for me to convince myself in phenomena. Well, that could be the case, and I suggest that if you even think that might be true, please read the entire story. Go to the website, higher-vision.org, and read the section Conversations with My Girlfriend.com, or read some of the responses to my book. Read the free download page where you can read the 70 pages of questions and answers with the Elohim. Listen to their voice through a channeling, which happened live on this conference call, which if you go to the channeling page, there is an icon for a tape recorder where you can hear how they sound speaking through someone. Now, of course, if one is a skeptic, one would always say, that can't be real, the person must be making it up. And I said this myself for probably at least a year. And watching and gauging everything extremely carefully, including, I guess, one of the major events was my sister's healing, where I asked them to help her with something, and she had a miraculous disappearance of lupus from her medical test. And supposedly, lupus never disappears. And when I asked them, this voice that says they're the Elohim, I said, how did you do that? And they said, it was like putting a filter in her blood and filtering out the lupus. Well, the Elohim says that they are one of the creator gods of this realm, that they are a group energy of many individual souls, and that prior to the physical world, there was them. And that throughout our history, they have been one of the sources that we have interpreted as God. And they don't necessarily want to be considered as God in the way that religion considers God. But for where the evolution of man has been, that was the best or only way to introduce themselves into our consciousness. They don't want to be worshipped. They want to be blended with. They want to be felt. That goes for the other group, so Ra, the Ra group, which is who is speaking to Edgar Cayce and David Wilcock. This is not about worshipping something or believing in something. It's about expanding your own levels of awareness where you can start to sense this energy that's not of this dimension. And that in that sensing of it, you can uplift your own vibration. You can see that you are not an isolated, alone, alienated human, that we are connected. We as humans are connected, and that there are energies in other dimensions that are also connected with us, energies which are positive, that would do anything to help you other than violate your free will. So these are the energies, these are the intelligences that we have been working with, who have been on this line, who have been working through our conference lines. And we do this every week, by the way. We do this every night of the week. And we have a gathering on this phone line. And many people who have been coming in every night have experienced this energy and experienced amazing transformations in themselves. So, what we're going to do tonight is I'm going to read a section of questions and answers with the Elohim, just a little bit, so you can hear how they sound. And this is via a channeling by Terry Brown, who happens to be on the line. And Terry had brought through this is me asking the questions and Terry answering them. And even for Terry, when this first started happening, she had to ask herself, is this true? Could they really be who they say they are? Is it positive? And I say this again and again, and I'll say it once more. You must do your own evaluation, but you can't evaluate if you don't study the materials. We put a lot of materials up for free on the website, higher-vision.org. And I have a book out. It's not for free, but 400 pages that makes a case that would probably win a jury, that David Wilcock is Edgar Cayce, and brings forth the messages from the Ra Group, who spoke through Cayce and is speaking through Wilcock. So, this evening, I'm going to read a little bit of a channeling that is hard to understand. And as I read this, don't worry if you don't understand it, because this is one of those channelings that I barely understand. In fact, I'm not even sure I could say that I barely understand it. I had to ask myself, who could be speaking this to me? Who could come up with these kinds of concepts? Because I was conversing with the Elohim who say they created this realm. And I asked them, how did they create this realm? And I had no idea what to expect. I mean, I know I read the Bible. In the beginning, there was heaven and 7 days. I didn't know what to expect. And the world is much more sophisticated now than at the time the Bible was being written, and people need to understand things at a level of higher sophistication rather than saying, God is on the line and put your prayers in and they'll answer it, because I wouldn't believe that. My mind would say this is some kind of evangelist speaking, or I need more data. I need more personal experience. And this is the Elohim. I'm not going to read this whole thing. It's kind of long. And again, the entire chapter plus 7 other chapters is online at our website for free under the free download section, Questions and Answers with the Elohim. I'm going to read a little bit. They say that they actually wrote, they're on the line paying attention to you right now. They're in the words, they're in between the words. So as I read this, pay attention to the energy. When? Question. The Elohim projects into this realm through geometry and mathematics, according to the answers you've given us. Many people speak of sacred geometry. Can you explain the way it works so it might be possible to visualize the geometry and the mathematics that the Elohim uses to focus energy into this realm? The Elohim. In reality, there is no time or space. In reality, There is only the one. By formulating and introducing into place, by intention, geometric anchor points, thereby we create a structure, not yet a physical structure, but a loose holographic structure. When would a holographic structure be composed of what we call etheric energy? Elohim. Etheric energy would occupy that structure and would be anchored by binding of the energy into the structure, resulting in form, which will become the form of an entity who has chosen to occupy or make use of it. This is created by the use of sacred geometry, and it provides an avenue for life to express itself through form. When? Is there a geometric form that each life form is connected to between the third density and the one? One geometric form or multiple? I'm going to make a comment for those of you just maybe to help understand this. What we're talking about here is the interrelationship of our physical bodies to other dimensions, and they're describing that there is only one thing, and we are all part of that one thing, except we have a veil that keeps us in suspense or separation from the direct experience that we are a part of everything. Interconnecting all that is are these holograms which have some kind of geometric relationship to each other. And some metaphysical people have referred to the idea of sacred geometry, which is the terminology used to describe these geometric forms. And these geometric forms are related by very, very specific mathematical interrelationships. And they were, according to my information, it was the Elohim that was the original creators of these relationships. So the question was, is there a geometric form that each life form is connected to between this density and others? Is it one geometric form or many? Elohim. There are multiple geometric forms, but they are basic building blocks. The basic building blocks for life forms are tetrahedrons and octagons. The geometric forms actually secure and originate a location which before the introduction of the geometric structures, there was no location. These forms are a precursor to matter. When? How is mathematics involved in all of this? Elohim. The mathematical computations are far beyond the mind of the channel. She at this time is seeing patterns that we are exhibiting that are similar to the patterns that the person who took the pictures saw. These could be called the whoop and the wharf of the physical universe. The whoop and wharf are precursors to life and love. Would they be formulated in a proper relationship causing structure, they would exhibit life. The mathematical formulas are a language in themselves. It is a language of relationships, and the mathematical formulas calculating the relationships of the pyramids that are formed on the outside of the superimposed geometric intention housing structures, which ultimately lead to a physical universe. Okay, this is Lynn making a comment. I told you you were going to get lost, just as I just did. Okay? Let me go back on that particular paragraph, and they talk about the patterns that the person who took the picture saw. Somebody sent me a photograph that when it was enlarged, there were all these geometric patterns that were all through the photograph. And they had asked me to ask in a channeling what those were. And the Elohim said that the person who took the picture was in fact an Elohim soul in a body, and that they created that distortion in the camera. Well, something happened to me about 2 months ago, and I think I'm going to put this on Dimensional Shift. Those of you who are not members, I suggest that you check it out just to see this. And that is, Terry was taking my picture, and we wanted to get a picture where I wasn't wearing sunglasses, particularly for the World Pooja show that's going to be on May 31st, because the woman who does World Pooja didn't like that picture. And so I had given a talk in Ventura, California, and Terry was taking my picture in the parking lot, and I was standing by a bunch of bushes, and I didn't seem to be able to get a good expression. And so we were standing there, and I said, Terry, let's call in the light, and that's invoking the presence of these interdimensional sources. I said, let's call in the light, take a picture, and see if I can't get my mood a little elevated. So we did that, we took a picture. And that particular picture has all this purple glow all around my chest that none of the other pictures have, for no apparent reason. And of course, the pictures were all taken within minutes of each other, so there was no change in the lighting, no change of anything except calling in the light. So if you guys want to see that picture, dimensional-shift.org, I will post the link to it tomorrow, and you can see it for yourself. And this is like one of the many, 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 many phenomena that I've sat in the middle of saying that this has to be real. So they're talking about how they create, when there's nothing, there's intention, and consciousness creates intention, and the intention spins, and the spinning of the intention creates something that persists, a hologram. Now, I keep asking questions, trying to understand more. Mathematics has to do with relationship of things, dimension, speed, frequencies. We spoke how you create an intention housing which spins. Then there's two of these housings which are spinning and touching in each other's proximities, at which point where they intersect, there is created a particle and waves. Is that correct? So now I'm going to make a comment. So now we have these intention housings that spin, and there's two of them, and they intersect. And of course, now this is, they're explaining quantum mechanics from the other side of the veil right now. Yes, the relationships are extremely important and must be mathematically exact to produce the proper waveforms and light and frequencies. The spin is one of the relationships because the spin at which it spins is critical to the outcome. Win. So now you have a number of things which are spinning in proximity, and you have to determine the correct spinning and the correct proximities to make it all work. Is that correct? Elohim. That is correct. Win. So the mathematics is the way you formulate that to create a desired outcome. Yes. Win. And the different spins and different proximities create different outcomes. Elohim. That is right. Win. So, for example, give me an idea of two different outcomes. Would the outcome be like we spin it at this speed and it turns to gold, and we spin it at another speed and it turns into iron? Give me an idea so I can understand how when you change these parameters, what is the variance in results? Elohim, if you have a very fine lattice work of a group of intentions, the fabric of the material will be more closely knit and smoother. The bigger the lattice work, with more irregularities in the groupings, will create a larger rock-type substance. Glenn, how does all this result in independent conscious thinking as an entity? Elohim, multiple identities get infused into the same simple geometric structure, and it becomes a haven to reach out from. Confusions in identity can easily result. Confusion arises as the structures which house or bind the entity get confused, as other entities make the same structure their home. The mind develops, and the thinking within such an entity may become self-generating thoughts over which he has no direct control of, but are triggered by the circumstances of life and the structure he has occupied, connected with other entities occupying the same structure. The mind, therefore, can be a diversion to the entity's experience of who they really are, although it can also serve and solve problems for him in the realm it is now in. It becomes an aspect of the veil which can hinder his connection with the realm from which he came. I'll make a comment on that, and that is, what the way I understand what they're explaining is, each of us is a hologram connected to our bodies, and when we're around each other, our holograms interact with each other, and we pick up and take on each other's energy field, for better or for worse. Many times, people who might be very highly evolved have chosen, or due to circumstances, are around people whose holograms are holding them into a lower position, and they can't even see their own level of evolution because of who they are around. This is where one's environment and who one chooses to be around can be so very important. And when one is trapped and feeling trapped, the feeling of trappedness might be because of people you are around. Part of what we're doing on this call is to create an environment that is outside of all of our holograms and our smaller consciousnesses, and that we can touch and reach each other at a level of creation prior to our physical bodies. And we're utilizing this, not just on these calls, but those of you that participated in the past couple of weeks know that we did what we called grid healings, where we went to a location, and Daphne and I were at the location with a bunch of people on this line, and we anchored light energy at that location, essentially creating an energy into this realm from outside of this realm to lift the vibration of this realm. And that when we talk about spirituality at its highest levels, I believe this is probably the most important thing that any of us can do while we're in a body, to be able to be a bridge between these dimensions and these vibrations in higher dimensions through our bodies to the earth. And then it is not limited. We can actually move this energy. We become our own creator god, so to speak, where we can move energy, project energy for healing, for upliftment. And of course, we do this all for the highest good of all concerned. And it's part of our empowerment as a human to be able to do this. And they're helping us learn how to do it. And they join with us as co-creators because it's their desire to uplift this realm also. but to uplift this realm. They can't do it without us. We are part of the anchoring of the energy on the other side of the veil, so the vibrations here can be lifted. And I don't know if anyone understood that, but I'm trying to make some of this idea of creation a little bit familiar. And the next question, I'm going to ask one more question from this, and then we're going to go through our calling in of the light and go around, and each of us here is going to get their chance to add their own projection, intention that's in the light to the group energy that we're creating. The question is, as we move through to these other dimensions, what is the nature of the spinningness as related to the different dimensions? The spinningnesses in the third dimension are very confined and dense. As you move into the fourth dimension, there is more room, much more space, much more breathing room, much more freedom, not so much confusion. Everything more clearly structurally, more liquid, malleable, utilizable, not awkward, unusable forms getting in the way, jumping in front of one's field of view and confusing their identity. Escaping from the human condition can be a difficult matter. It involves freeing oneself of all aspects of the human condition other than one's true self. Any attitude, misrepresentation, misunderstanding, viewpoint that one takes on that is another's will confound his own viewpoint and make it difficult to shake free that viewpoint since it is an assumed or projected other viewpoint into his face. If one attempts to ascend into higher dimensions, dragging baggage, it may impede his progress into ascension altogether. It may affect his choice of whether to ascend or not. The main reason one gets stuck in the third density realm is the assuming of other identities that are not his own. It interlocks him into this realm. He uses such interlocking mechanisms to own and possess other creations to enhance his perceived existence. When beings share space, shortcomings, distortions, attitude may become intertwined, entangled, and intermingled until it takes intense discernment to determine what is one's own. An example would be a house or a car that enhanced the perceived status of the individual in his own mind and in the minds of his friends and neighbors. Such items may not be taken into the other realm with them. There is nothing wrong with owning, loving, and possessing these items. If one can realize for himself that his worth is not dependent on them. He himself is loved and worthwhile and immutable and may ascend in glory and light without such accoutrements. And last question. Why did the sub-god spirits occupy the forms originally? The larger cosmos and the smaller cosmos are mirrors. We, the Elohim, created the initial templates of space by the projection of anchor points and spinning energy through them. Initially, we created rudimentary holograms through intention, and we refined them through the spinning of the energies. The greater logos or God, delighted in spinning out projections, which created the space of the galaxy? First, the energies were very expansive. It was a great delight to create spinning motions which resulted in light. As it is above, so it is below in the denser forms of life. The spinning creates light matter appearing and disappearing as in a flicker. The intersection of anchor points begins to pack down this flickering light into the form of life. Form is now appearing and disappearing. The form increases in density, becoming solider and solider, and eventually endures. For forms to solidify, interlocking holograms are required. The spirit sub-god desired to possess these forms to feel the resonance which occurs when they could shine back at the form. Occupying a form thus becomes a delightful experience, acting as proof that one exists. This is the initial hook attracting the sub-gods to this realm, where they started to become trapped in form, where they wished to have the experience of the beauty of birth, not only for the proof of existence, but for the validation that they were an elegant, worthwhile, cherished being, the wish to solidify one's life and love, to glorify oneself through life, to gain proof of one's existence through extending into matter and taking on an existential exterior form solidified as part of creation. And I'm going to stop the reading right there. It seems like a good point. Again, go to higher-vision.org, go to the free downloads, and you can read the entire tract of that series. And now we're going to close this evening with a calling in of the light. And we'll go around and have a few people put their own intentions into the light, keeping in mind that we're doing right now exactly what they described. We are creating by our intention, spinning energies that we can't see, and joining on the other side. But there is a feeling that some of you will feel. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect myself and each person on this line, and that any negativity be taken into the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the galactic center, the Hunab-Ku, priorly from the center of the universe to the Hunab-Ku, through the solar system, through the outer energy levels of our planet, and through our bodies right now in our physical location, and grounding itself to the crystalline core of the Earth. Each of us right now is in this flow of energy, and we expand these energies through our intentions to each other. And for a moment, we create a connection, a communion of our energy fields in other dimensions. We can feel each other. We can move through the top of our heads in our what would seem to be our imagination and feel the energy of each of us on this line and feel the energy of all those people who we don't know who they are who are listening on DBS radio. And we join in this group energy and we invite those energies of the Council of Elohim and the Ra group to blend with us. Those of you that are free-willing to do that. And realizing, right at this moment, we exist as a flow of holograms from our physical body through the center of the Earth, through our physical body, and back to the center of the universe. And we surround our planet with this energy. We ask for the help of the Elohim, Ra, and all other positively disposed service to other energies operating in the Christed light right now. We send this energy to the principles of peace on this planet, upliftment, empathy, and again we send it to ourselves, to our families, to our homes, to our communities. On that note, it is 9:27. Let me unmute everybody. We are unmuted, and we're probably going off of the PBS radio at this time. And we'll go through the list for the individual going in of the light. Those of you, if you're still on BBS, thank you for being here. We'll be here next week. And thank you for participating in our group energy. And Wayne, are you on the line?